Hello, it is March 12th, 2024. My name is Daniel Berrios, and I'd like to welcome you once again to the movies. This episode is going to be another late night recording, and I feel it weirdly appropriate because on this edition of the Rachel McAdams Picture Show, which is the segment on the show where I go through the filmography of Rachel McAdams because I love her and I think that she's excellent in every movie she does. This episode is going to cover Kelly Fremon Craig's 2023 release, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, which earned McAdams so much love. Critically, a lot of critics groups actually put her in the running to be sort of a dark horse supporting actress contender. Because as Margaret's mom, Barbara, the movie gives her so much room to, you know, be messy and be a person who's trying to balance every demand in her life, whether it be as a mother, as a wife, even as a daughter, an estranged daughter, as you learn later in the movie. Someone who struggles between being, you know, everything for every part of her life and holds a tremendous amount of guilt about what she could be doing better or what attention she could be focusing towards, what she thinks that she needs to do as a parent. Does she need to be a PTA mom because she... And does she need to learn how to cook? Does she need to maintain the house just because she has seen those kind of things on TV and feels better about it? Or, you know, is pursuing her love of art one of the things that keeps her going? And what I loved about McAdams being cast in this role is that Rachel McAdams always has a way of taking these characters who are infinitely conflicted and making them so relatable. I've noticed that while reading the screenplay, one, I found out that I am Barbara Simon. I am the person who constantly overthinks how what they do is going to affect, like, these buckets. I feel like there are buckets of my life, like one being a husband, one being a dad, one being a podcaster, one being a, you know, guy who works where I work, and one being a son, and one being a best friend. And I've got only a little bottle of water in my hand per day, and I pick which bucket or which buckets to put, like, those drops of water in. And the decision of allocating that bit of water sends me on a fucking nervous fit every goddamned day. And I felt like that is what Kelly Fremon Craig was getting at with writing Barbara Simon. I've unfortunately never read the book, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, by Judy Blume. Actually, I didn't know who Judy Blume looked like until this week, and that helped me realize that she makes a cameo in this movie, and I had originally no idea, because I don't know this lady. I should read the book, though. It's great. But hearing Kelly Fremon Craig talk about it, and talk about how, as an adult, she found herself akin more to Barbara, reading the screenplay and realizing that so much of this is seeing these two characters, Margaret and Barbara, who are basically like the same person, not exactly the same person, but the same person in two stages of life, and seeing how one is informed by the other and informed by their own experiences. You know, what would Barbara be? How would Barbara's take on religion be if she wasn't traumatized by the abandonment from her parents? You know, would she be more like Margaret, who's willing to accept that there is a ideally benevolent force out there kind of watching out for them, and enough so that one could have a personal relationship with them. I don't even know if Margaret's understanding of religion is that God is the creator and the, you know, sustainer and the one who sets everything into motion and plans out the entire universe, or if God is just like your personal dear Abby and you can just vent to them for advice and sort of like self-therapize and hash things out in your head. And it's interesting because I feel like Margaret giving herself that option is a tool that Barbara just doesn't have. I feel like when Barbara is so messy in her brain, and we see this through different little actions in the screenplay, and I love that Fremont Craig is putting a lot of internal monologue in this thing, so it reads more like a novel, and I guess that's what you get from adapting a book into this thing, that you get a screenplay that's less like reliant on like film language, or I guess it's more willing to take on those sort of narrative, novel-like tendencies, but whatever. Seeing those inner monologues are the closest that we get to Barbara sort of like therapizing herself, and a lot of it, I noticed, was just in the way that McAdams kind of took over the role, you know? And I'm noticing this more as I read more scripts that just actors have a really good way of taking like blocks of dialogue and just reducing it to a sentence. And also, they're really helped and bolstered by the editing too. But something that I liked about McAdams' performance is that she's so good with restraint and holding her full emotion back just maybe by like 10%. And that's seen through, you know, different little notes in the screenplay. One of them, the strongest one being, for me, is like whenever Margaret is, whenever Margaret's moving for the first time. Actually, screw it. I'm going to play the clip for that.
That was camp.
It was amazing.
So you were in a play?
Yep.
Oh my God, incredible.
What are those boxes for?
Don't worry about that. I want to hear more about camp. What else you learned? What else did you do?
You're moving.
What?
Really, Mom?
Sylvia.
Oh, wow.
You promised.
We're moving?
Look, it's...
She saw the boxes. Yeah, she was putting it together.
I don't think she was.
We're moving?
Okay.
Just...
Look, we wanted you to settle in before we sprung the news, but your dad got his promotion.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
And we found this great house.
Oh, the best house. The best house.
Well, that's the thing. We got really lucky.
New Jersey.
Ah.
New Jersey? I'm sorry.
So right there, when Sylvia mentions that they're moving, in the screenplay it says, Barbara scrambles to soften the blow. And suddenly I understood how McAdams plays the character. Because she's always moving, and she's consistently, whether it just be doing, what's it called, doing just like housework or like talking to Margaret or talking to her her mother-in-law or her parents or whatnot, she's always kind of doing something, and she's always kind of like focused on one thing. And as soon as something with Margaret goes to trouble, or as soon as her husband Herb, played by Benny Safdie, and in a role that I think a lot was left on the screenplay. Like, there's more for Herb in the screenplay than there is, but I guess when you edit the movie and you want it to be more like a mother-daughter thing, that's kind of where his goofy sort of lackadaisical presence comes from. And Benny Safdie's doing a good job too. But whenever anybody of these have problems, you see McAdams' focus just like stop, and her body language just like stiffens up. I notice that she gets super like tight whenever something's going on, so she's like alert and focused and just ready to like jump in and help, even if it's, you know, maybe without thinking how something will be affected, or just it's immediately Mama Bear jumping into rescue mode. And I loved that body language, and I just loved the way that she would be ready to interact on the drop of a dime, even if she wasn't totally prepared to handle the situation. Like, I love that little turn that she does whenever Margaret's like, I want a bra, and she just stops. It's like cold in her tracks, but then like slowly turns around to, in the middle of that initial shock of hearing, you know, your little girl say something that is so immediately bringing you to like, this is what adult people with breasts deal with on a daily basis. Like, this is what they do. And slowly having to like reconcile, like, okay, this is really, really weird for me as a parent, but then also I need to be here for my child, so let me turn around and get warm and loving real quick. I don't know, something about that turn just works for me. I think that's it, is just knowing that she is able to, you know, offer such like a kind, warm smile and hide a lot of pain. One of the things that I really liked, I think in the screenplay, in that moving scene, when she's talking about how she'll be able to stay at home and be one of those PTA moms and one of those good housewives sort of thing. In the screenplay, I think it makes it more explicit that the character wants that, but something about the way that McAdams plays it, again, I think it's that restraint. I think it's allowing yourself to be just impacted enough that she can't hide the emotion whenever Margaret whines that, like, but you love teaching art. And in the screenplay, I think that scene is supposed to be more Barbara convincing herself that what she's doing is the right thing. Like, she's already convinced at that moment. But in McAdams' performance, you see that tinge of her thinking about it. Like, yeah, I really love doing my art. And I love this thing. But me moving will also be able to, you know, if I abandon this bucket that I've been filling for a while of teaching art and like embracing my creative passions, I can go so much more into being a more present mom, especially in a time when Margaret will need different types of attention and more attention, more attention in general, being like a young teen and especially period age and having all of these questions about growing up, you know, all of this stuff. It's a really good opportunity for Barbara to be present in that way. And so you can imagine that in just those little interactions and that look, those looks on her face, there's a huge turmoil going on in Barbara Simon's brain at all times regarding what she needs to focus on, how she can best present herself to the people that she cares about, but also the people that will judge her regardless. And I think that also comes from like a level of trauma from her religious parents denying what she, or castigating her in a sense for what she, for whom she chose to love. And any time that religion is brought up, McAdams is immediately like that stiff body language. And unlike when you've got those parental loving moments, she's a lot sharper. She's more rash. She's more impulsive and be able to like toss like a quick snide comment and something that's reacting purely of hurt. And I just love the way that that doesn't feel. I feel like other actors are able. I think other actors will take something that is supposed to be an aside, like a hurtful aside. If you're supposed to say something like what Barbara says to Margaret when she's complaining about religion and choosing her own religion, she's like, I'm 12, I'm almost an adult, and Barbara laughs it off. I feel like other actors would really lean into it unexpectedly. They'd lean into sort of that laughter, and it would end up becoming a little hokey or a little forced. But because of the way that McAdams is reacting to these other comments about religion and feeling the pain that she suffered because of her interactions with this, I guess, super devout Christianity, that laughter that she has, that exasperated, almost just fed up laugh, feels natural, and it comes off less as like a hurtful thing for Margaret, but more of just like a busted relief valve. If Barbara Simon is just one giant boiler room ready to explode, you know, the little psss of a pipe, maybe like busting a little, like busting a rivet, so to speak, that's kind of what that feels like. And I found it so incredible that McAdams is able to just channel so much tension, but exude so much warmth and so much kindness too. You know, it was something that I think that contradictory nature of her performances is something that in an interview with Kelly Clarkson, she kept harping on the fact that Rachel McAdams is one of those actresses that can cry but still like compose herself enough to continue acting and talking while crying. Whereas like some actors, I think one of the things I'm most reminded of is like in Fault in Our Stars, one of the things that caught me off guard was that Ansel Elgort and Shailene Woodley would be ugly criers. They just let themselves go for it, and it would be snotty and their faces would get flushed and all that. But Rachel McAdams, again, has those, I guess, acting muscles or those instincts to where she's able to just restrain herself and let you feel all the emotions, but and not to be like a technician in a way that's too clinical, but in a way that it all just feels natural. It feels like she's living all of these emotions truthfully at once, and being able to pull out such specific little notes. And again, movies are a collaborative medium, you know. You could have an incredible editor just come in and tweak everything and get the right take and get the right frame of expression, and teaming up, you know, with Kelly Fremon Craig. This is her movie too. Hers, and I mean, Judy Blume was on set a lot, so you've got a lot of people in the room that truly love this thing and really want to get this thing right, because shit, Judy Blume's been blocking this movie for 50 years. Since 1970, people have asked her to make the book into a movie, and she said no, but now was the time. And so, it's one of those, I guess the more I'm thinking about it, and the more I'm thinking about just Rachel McAdams' restraint and discovering like how she's able to just get those like individual little ticks that tell me everything about this person. Like, hell, even the little scene when she's pulling out her artwork in the new house and admiring what looks good and, you know, tossing essentially that bucket away. There's that sort of tinge of regret that like, oh, I really could do more with this and be a little bit more selfish in the name of like creative pursuit and things that fulfill me. But no, I need to, you know, be there for, I guess, the perfect expression of the suburban housewife. But I feel like in a way she thinks that this is what her family deserves. Like the way she looks at Herb, and I mean, whenever Rachel McAdams smiles at anybody in a movie, if she smiles to the camera, you feel like you're just given the biggest fucking hug. It's one of the greatest tools in her arsenal, is that just beaming smile. It just makes you melt inside. And I feel like whenever she smiles at Herb, or whenever she smiles at Margaret, it's that smile that says like, I want to give you the world. So yeah, I will sacrifice all of this, even though ultimately deep down she doesn't believe that she needs to be the perfect housewife, the perfect stereotypical housewife. I think she feels like they deserve that. Her family does. And so that's why she pushes herself so hard to do it. And I don't know, something about the eternal struggle of pushing yourself to be the best in all aspects of your life. Maybe that's just insecurity disguised as perfectionism, but McAdams is able to pull that off really, really well. And yeah, restraint is the name of the game on this episode. But yeah, that's me talking another episode of the Rachel McAdams Picture Show. And thank you very much for listening to another episode of The Movies. If you want to follow me, you can do so on Twitter at @TheMovies_pod. Next episode on Rachel McAdams Picture Show. You know what? I'm going to start leaving these up to a poll. I'm not going to plan these out month and month. I'm going to at least go on Twitter and just ask y'all what you think the next episode should be. Which of the Rachel McAdams oeuvre should I cover next? That type of thing. I mean, I'm doing every single movie she's ever done. So eventually we're going to get all the way to the very end. But, you know, I figure we're going to see where the audience wants to take this. But like I said, thank you very much for listening to another episode of The Movies. I'm going to leave you with a song. Ooh, let's do Gregory Alan Isakoff. Yeah. I'm going to do this song, Evelyn. Yeah, Evelyn off of this Empty Northern Hemisphere. I really like this song, and it's a nice, like, folky chill. You know, if you're listening to this at nighttime, I think it's going to be a really good song. So, yeah, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and take care of the movies. See you around.
All the tables nice and clean. Evelyn's asleep on the graveyard shift again, selling gasoline. And his kids smoking on South First. See, high school's just a blur for her, and everything just found their place, it seemed. There's an old folk song on the radio, sounding thin and dark and haunted.